Good morning, class. Class. Thank you.
Yes, it's Sunday school time. VCE English. Is this your burden to carry for the year? Well, Marissa Pincus is an English teacher. She's a tutor. She's currently completing her master's. And she joins you in the studio today to discuss imaginative landscapes. Good morning, Marissa. Coming close to the microphone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, let me see if I've got this right. This is section 2 of the paper.
Correct.
So section 1 is all the books that we've been doing.
Yes.
And section 2 has options. It's section 2 overridingly, what's the umbrella term for it?
It's called context and creating and presenting. So it's for students to be able to write in three different ways. They have to write imaginatively, writing expository pieces, which means explaining and informing, or writing persuasively.
So it's options.
Well,
it's an option. You can, like, does the school choose it for you, or do you have to do all three ways?
There's four. They have to do all three ways,
right?
But there's four different sort of umbrella and concepts, and one of the options is imaginative landscapes.
And so, underneath the option of imaginative landscapes, you have to write
imaginatively, expositorily,
and opinion
persuasively.
Piece. Okay, right. So, gosh, it's a burden, isn't it? VCE English. That's hard work.
It is hard, and it's very analytical, and really that's the last level of thinking to be developed. So I think it's hard for students to be able to think on that level and be able to express themselves really well. So building up your vocab is very important. Reading lots and reading your text, getting to know your text is really well, really important.
So does the school choose the overriding
Concept? Yes, they would. So if you're doing imaginative landscape, you wouldn't be doing identity and belonging or whose reality or encountering conflict.
Right. That means we've got three more to go then in our revision course. Oi. Anyway, we'll keep going. We'll plough on through. Don't you worry about that. We're going to get you through VCE English, hook or by crook. Tell me, the first style of writing is
Imaginative.
So what's the best way of tackling that? My understanding is that you could take a real-life situation that fits the theme of
imaginative landscape.
Yeah. And fictionalise it. Is that the way of approaching it?
There's a few different ways of approaching it. So, yes, probably taking an experience that's happened to you or something that's close to your heart, and you could write a diary entry or a number of diary entries, a letter.
Do you have to third person it?
Anything. You can choose whatever, make whatever literary decisions you want. It can be third person, it can be first person, and it can be a personal reflection as well.
Right. So that's how you approach that one. Best to, you can actually prepare for it. You can write about, I don't know, what's an imaginative landscape? What sort of thing?
You could write about a place where that you've been and that's really affected you. A lot of students have been to Port Arthur in Tasmania, and one of the ideas linked with imaginative landscape is our relationship to the land and how the land affects us. And I know when I was at Port Arthur, and many students I've spoken to have felt that because of Port Arthur's sad history, you really feel this eerie, ghostly
chilling
kind of feeling. I felt very uncomfortable there.
Because it's so beautiful and yet was so awful. I mean, it's not just the recent events, the relatively recent events of 1996 that send chills through your bone. It's its whole history of children being separated from their parents and thrown onto islands with no food
Exactly. It was a penal colony for prisoners who were recalcitrant prisoners at the time. Mm. So they were tortured and put in really small cells. And when you go on the tour, they really play on the fact that it's haunted. But you do actually feel it. My husband, who feels nothing, felt distinctly uncomfortable there.
No need to share too much personal detail. Tell me, in terms of if you did that, if you used Port Arthur as your stepping off point, would you write a diary of a child that was there, or would you write your reflection of visiting as an adult now?
Either could work. Or you could write a combination of the two. You could write a historical diary from someone who's been there, and then perhaps a modern email from someone who was there recently.
So you can prepare this one quite well.
You can, except you get prompts for the exam and for your assessments, for your SACs, and you don't know exactly what your prompt will be. So some of the examples of the prompts would be natural landscapes are blank canvases waiting to be transformed by imagination. So for that one, Port Arthur could fit in.
But that prompt sounds so positive and magical and beautiful, and Port Arthur's tonally doesn't seem to fit that.
But you can disagree with a prompt.
Ah.
You don't have to agree with it, or you can partly agree and partly disagree.
So how does this prompt relate to the thing that I've prepared earlier?
It's best not to prepare too much earlier. I think it's best to really get your head around the idea of the imaginative landscape and the ideas associated with it. There's quite a few ideas. Maybe
Please.
I should go into that now.
Yeah.
That the landscape provides a sense of community and belonging, which is really emphasized in the anthology of short stories in Ireland. It's about communities of people who live on the islands of Cape Breton and Nova Scotia. And they're either fishermen or they're miners or they're loggers or they're lighthouse keepers. And they live in this very stark, extreme climate, which is beautiful, but really harsh and hostile. And they eke out a living in a very hard way for their families and for themselves. And it affects their whole culture and their families and the way they live and the way they see life. And they're quite proud of being independent and living on Cape Breton and living by the sea or from the sea or from the mines.
Tell me, do you, in answering the three different styles of writing, are you restricted to referring to the three texts that are set for imaginative landscape? I can see there are three: Jessica Anderson's Tirralira by the River, Robert Frost's The Poetry of Robert Frost, and Alistair MacLeod's Ireland.
You're not restricted, but you should refer to one of the texts, because you would only be doing maybe one or two at your school, directly or indirectly.
In each answer?
If you do expository, probably the best way, and expository means to explain or inform, in the exam is to do an expository essay. And you would have a number of topic paragraphs, and maybe in one or two you would refer directly to the text that you've studied. So you would refer to Ireland and maybe refer to one story and refer to another story, and explain how those stories, the ideas in those stories and the characters link back to your prompt. And then what you should do is have a collection of a whole other lot of topics that fit into imaginative landscape and would possibly fit into your prompt, because you don't know what prompt you're going to get.
Where do you get those other topics from?
That's where your preparation comes in. And what you might do is look at the Aboriginal sense of land and land ownership and dream time and how much spirituality has to do with Indigenous land ownership. You could look at a modern issue like the farming, the issue that's happening with Fortescue Metal Group to the Yindi Bandi people, excuse mm-hmm. the pronunciation, and how the community have refused permission for the lands to be mined because they're very special lands for them, even though they have the potential to make billions if
so
they allowed them to mine it.
So that's like from the news. You could take
exactly.
a current news story that relates to it.
Exactly. So try and have different topics. Have a current issue that's based in Australia. Have an international issue. Have a past issue. One of the other ideas associated is how your imagination can help you escape physical boundaries. So you could look at Nelson Mandela and how on the island, on a Robben Island for 27 years, he used his imagination to escape his physical boundaries. And that's how he survived as a wonderful man for 27 years, locked up in a prison.
Marissa Pinker is taking your Sunday school today, and we're talking about imaginative landscapes, which is a component of the VCE English exam. You mightn't be doing imaginative landscapes. That mightn't be what your school has chosen for you in the part two section. But should you be doing this, hopefully you're finding this segment really useful. Can I just clarify, what is an imaginative landscape?
Well, it's a very, the umbrella terms are meant to be very broad, sort of deep terms. And there's lots of ideas associated with them. So it's about how we relate to the land and how the land relates to us, how we can affect the land. So it's climate, it's culture, it's history, it's religion. In some religions, like in Indigenous culture, the land is particularly important. It has a spiritual meaning beyond the physical climate. It's how we make our living. It's how we create our literature and express our relationship with the land in literature or music or film or song.
What about hints as to how to really prepare well? Like, where do students fall down with this section? What are the traps?
Developing a really good vocabulary so that you can express your ideas clearly, succinctly, and accurately is a really good tip. So create a word bank for your text and for your context. And also I would say have about 10 topics prepared that you can, and research them so that you can pull them out depending on what prompt you get. So have an international example, as I said, have a local example. You can
so
even
the
have
international
a
example, for instance, the Nelson Mandela example. The local example could be using Aboriginal culture for the Dreamtime or the current news story with Fortescue Metal and the Aboriginal people in Western Australia. Yeah?
Is exactly. That,
but you do have to write 3 essays.
Well, you have to write 3 to 5 pieces of writing for, during the year. And in the exam, you write 1 piece of writing.
One piece of writing.
2. And during the year, you'll probably be told by your teachers, this has to be imaginative, this has to be persuasive, this has to be expository.
But in the exam, your choice is?
Whichever.
One of the 3.
One of the 3, and you'll get 2 prompts. You choose one of the prompts, whichever one you feel you can write most appropriately on, and you choose which form you write.
So how do you choose which form you write? Do you look at what you've done during the year and work out that you're better writing an opinion piece, which is the persuasive one? The expository, which is more a journalistic one, really, isn't it? Or is it a
yes,
researchy?
It could be research. I would advise in the exam to write an expository essay, unless you're an absolutely brilliant creative writer, because the structure's there already and time is limited in the exam. So have a number of topics prepared for which you've done research. Know your text, so that you can pull out ideas for your text and write different paragraphs on that, maybe 2, and write your essay because the structure's there and it will take you far less time.
I'm sorry to ask you this, but is this topic a confusing concept?
It's very abstract. Yeah. It's the most abstract out of the 4. And I would say to students who might just be starting it in school, it's almost a journey because it's very abstract. Reading your text is the first step, and then reading lots and lots of other writings about imaginative landscape and going through all the exercises that your teacher asks you to go through would be useful.
So do practice exams help with this one?
They would, but I think first getting your head around this concept, because it's a very abstract concept and it's quite a broad concept. So first getting to understand it and getting to know all the different aspects of the concept.
Which is basically man's relationship or human's relationship to land.
Yes.
And
I'll go through some of the other ideas?
Please do.
One landscape is experienced in many different ways. So the fact that a person who comes from the desert might come to our urbanized Melbourne, which is densely populated, densely built, and feel totally overwhelmed and scared. So we react to different landscapes depending on who we are, depending on our experiences, depending on our culture.
Could you write about Liam Jarrah from the Melbourne Football Club coming from Alice Springs to play Aussie Rules
in Melbourne? That would be a great example.
Okay.
So you could do a made-up interview with him. That would be imaginative. Mm. You could pull out an issue from there and look at does the AFL take enough responsibility for their Indigenous players and for their adaption to coming into an urban environment? So you could write an editorial on that or an opinion piece.
But how would you weave in one of these texts to that? Do you have to do that?
You would take the idea.
Right, okay.
Okay. So in the different stories, there's lots of ideas about people adapting to different environments, leaving their family behind, having to leave some of their culture behind once they've left their original home landscape.
Right. Let's keep going.
The landscape shapes and determines the lives of its inhabitants. This is really clear in Ireland because the people are either miners or fishermen. And so their whole lives are sort of focused on making a living in a very harsh environment. And they sit and they knit their fishing nets and their bodies get damaged from being miners or being fishermen. The imagination is the power to transform the landscape. So that's how we change the landscape.
Right.
So
could that be about architecture?
Yes, absolutely. And I know some schools do excursions to the NGV where the students actually do tours looking at art of how Australia was originally
settled.
Thank you. And depicted in art and looking at how it's depicted now.
I use the word settled advisedly. Under guidance. Marissa Pinker is your English teacher and tutor, taking you through the second part of the English exam in the subcategory of imaginative landscape that comes in the context section. We're nearly out of time, Marissa. One or two key bits of advice for students, just to close.
Really take your time, do lots of brainstorms, try and get your head round the concepts, know the different aspects, and I would say prepare about 10 topics, maybe 2 based on your text and the other 8, so that you understand them, you know them, and you've done your research and you can use them in your exam as and when you need to.
And don't be afraid of taking current news stories from the environment around you and weaving the text through there.
Exactly. And build up your vocabulary. And good luck.
Marissa Pinker, English teacher and tutor, thank you so much for taking our Sunday School.